Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from Man Camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from the weekend.
Well, I'll second what Eric said. You have a good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, you look like you did. You look like you did. That's great. That's great. So, for whatever reason, just communing with the Lord, I decided, felt like a call to flip the order of what were messages. So, tomorrow, on our last time before we head out, we'll talk about the worship thief, all right? So, we'll dig into that and look at some scripture and take a look at that. Speaking of it, I was thinking about that as a worship thief. Has anybody ever, have you been attacked and, had something taken from you, stolen from you? Has anybody ever had that? Like, literally, like, out on the streets or something? Seriously. What happened?
It was on the streets.
Where was it?
We were living with a friend of ours, and we moved
on the TV. Oh, God. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Mike, what about you? My goodness. That's crazy. I didn't know if anybody... That's amazing, and you're still here. Praise God for that. So, wow. Well, we'll be talking about the thief. Your stories are a lot more powerful than mine. I got attacked about 2 weeks ago by a gang. It was a gang of mimes. They did unspeakable things to me, so. Come on, man. A little dad joke sprinkling in every once in a while. That's what I'm trying to do. All right. So tonight, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to look at the power and postures of praise, all right? The power and posture of praise. So we looked at and talked about, just number one, why we should worship Jesus, first of all. Why we should worship Jesus. And then earlier today, we just looked at that we're wired for worship, and then we have a worship identity, and that the whole Trinity is involved in bringing us into the family of God and making us His sons, His child, so that out of that relationship with a pure heart, we worship Him, and that's our worship identity. And I just wanted to show you from Scripture tonight and talk for a few minutes about both the power of praise and the postures, kingdom postures that we see in Scripture of praise. And some of you have already taken up some of those postures, even in our time together. So let's look at Psalm 150. Psalm 150, we'll read this together. Going to pull it up there. Go ahead and pull the first one. Actually, let's read this thing together out loud, all right? Are you ready? Do you have it, Eric? No? That's fine. I'll just read it out loud then here. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. There's the where. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. That's the why. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. That's part of the how. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise God. So, praise is an expression or approval. Just generally speaking, praise is an expression or of approval or admiration, all right? So let me just build on this for a moment. So obviously, praising the Lord, and we can praise God, but just praise in and of itself, we can also praise, we praise our children. If you're a boss, you should praise your employees when they work well. We should praise our spouses for who they are, what they've done. Some of you often praise your dogs. Never our cats, but dogs are fine. But biblical praise, all right? So let's just praise in general. It's expressing approval, admiration. Biblical praise is an expression of respect or gratitude, but it's an act of worship. So praise is that expression of gratitude, that expression of thankfulness as an act of worship to God Himself. So again, let me say it like this. Praise is an expression of worship. Turn to somebody and say, an expression of worship. Okay? So expression, the process of making known, conveying, or putting into words one's thoughts, feelings, emotions, or opinions. That's when we express, that's what we do. Is it possible, I'm just asking the question, Is it possible we've been deceived by the evil one into thinking we can praise God without expressing praise to God? That praise simply stays up here. Question, how are you making known, putting into words, and conveying our very feelings, thoughts, gratitude, grace, gratefulness, and thankfulness to God, to him through this praise? So before we get to the posture, the power and the postures, I do want to unpack this. This is just real quick, but why do we praise God, all right? Number one, for who he is. We praise God for who he is. We begin with his character. We begin with his nature, always, right? For who he is. Circumstances change in our lives, but his character never changes. So that's why we're founded in praising him, first of all, for who he is. God, constant, never changing, the same yesterday, today, forever, faithful, just, righteous, holy, blameless, and on and on and on the list goes for who he is. Secondly, we also praise him for what he's done. And that was message number one, as we talked about why we praise Jesus as our Savior. And obviously, that being the most paramount, that he's bought us back, he's redeemed us off the slave block of sin. We worship him as our Savior, but God continues to actually do things for us, even just everyday things. Provision. Eric and I were talking after lunch, and he was just giving, I love connecting and hearing people's stories. And I've known a little bit about him, but I've not really heard much of it. He started unpacking some of his story. He was talking about making a decision about jobs and choosing a lesser paying job because God called him to it, but also God reaffirming to him, I am the God of provision and I will provide. And then hearing how he's provided again and again, and man, just amazing. So we praise him for who he is. We praise him for what he's done. Also, we praise him for what he's going to do. There's your faith, right? We praise him for what he's going to do. He hasn't stopped working. He's going to keep on working. And in fact, we have a promise of a return of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he doesn't just make, bad things good. He makes all things new, right? If you were to summarize the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you could do it in pretty much three main themes. The first theme is creation. God creates, Genesis 1 and 2, right? The second theme is man falls, Genesis 3. And then from Genesis 3:15 to the end of the book is God redeems and restores. And he's all about restoration. So we praise him for what he's going to do. So there is our reasons. We praise him for who he is. We praise him for what he's done. And we praise him for what he is going to do. All right? Now, let me talk for a minute about the power of praise. Just a couple of things. I have many more points. I just want to give a few. But from the scriptures, we see, first of all, praise does point people to God. When we praise, express praise to God, right, it points people to God. Listen to Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So when we praise, and again, certainly when we're singing and when we're praising and expressing praise to God through singing, it does that. But think about it even in your work. As you have opportunity to give God praise for your work, if your boss commends you for something good that you've done and you thank him and say, man, by the power of God, or you point praise to God for giving you the mindset or the creative idea or the ability to perform that, praise points people to God. But also, praise aligns us with heaven. Okay, when Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? So we understand when Jesus came, he brought in the kingdom. He came preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near or is here. So the kingdom of heaven is come, but it's still to be fulfilled and is coming. The kingdom of heaven currently is in the hearts of those who carry the Spirit, right? Through salvation. But Jesus prayed, let your kingdom come. So if we want to see the things of heaven be done on earth, then wouldn't it be wise for us to begin now to do the things on earth what is already being done in heaven? Yes. And in such a way, that's part of the way we actually help to usher in the kingdom. We carry the kingdom, right? We help to usher in the kingdom. Well, even today I went back and I read Revelation 4. What are they doing in Revelation 4 in the kingdom, in heaven, around the throne? That's right. They are worshiping and they are praising God. You have the 24 elders. You have the creatures. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They get off their thrones. They bow down before the Lord. So praise, when we praise, it aligns us with heaven, because praise is what is taking place in heaven. See, so praise points people to God. Praise aligns us with heaven. Also, praise is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Listen to how powerful praise is, according to the scriptures, even in the youngest of praisers. Psalm 8:2. And if you're ever in church and you have a loud kid and he's crying and you say, take that kid out, real quick, and I get that, that can be a distraction, but also maybe go and read Psalm 8:2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Even the powerful praise of infants doing what God has created them to do. Praise is a weapon of spiritual warfare. More than just infants praising, think about this. We talk about this. When Satan speaks, he is a liar. So everything that he says, while he may couch it in some truth, somewhere there's always a lie, right? And Jesus affirms this. We see this from the beginning, and it's all the way through to the end. So this is his main strategy. But when we praise, right? Praise is pure truth. When we are praising God for who he is, for what he's done, and for what he is going to do, praise is just pure truth. And the best way to shut the lies up of the devil is with pure truth. So could we say it like this? Praise shuts the devil up. Praise shuts the devil up. We're praising pure truth. And when we praise in pure truth, sometimes too, when you find yourself discouraged, having a rough time, maybe it's been a hard week, a hard month. Man, sometimes what we need is to just praise our way out of that discouragement. Really, like begin to, what's the old hymn? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You begin to praise God. You begin to count your blessings. You begin to go back and remember all that Christ has done for you. Remember who we were before Christ, who we are after Christ. Man, there's something about that our circumstances and our situations, while they still may be real and present, for some reason, they just begin, the weight of them begins to just lighten and loosen when we praise our way out of discouragement. There's power in praise. There's power in praise, all right? So, now, let's talk for the rest of our time together. What'd you say, Eric? About another hour? What, 9 o'clock we need to be done by? I'm kidding. All right, I got some of your attention there. Some of you are like, oh, what'd he say? Let's talk about kingdom postures, all right? Postures of praise. These are king. So I say this because I want to encourage you to marinate on this and take this back yourselves and work through this. Right? I don't think it's right to force postures of praise on people. Right? I think that's just there's just nothing positive about that. But man, when we begin to see that postures of praise are actually biblical postures. It's not just man-made. Like a worship leader says, hey, would everybody raise your hand? You're like, well, I'm not a hand-raising kind of guy. Maybe you aren't. But have you ever considered that it's actually a biblical posture of praise? It's not just a man-made posture. So I just want you to take and receive this as it comes out on you, and then you take it home and you marinate with it. Those of you taking notes, you can wrestle with some of the other scriptures. But I just want to walk through what I see, at least from scriptures, like 7 different biblical or kingdom postures of praise that people have taken up, or that were even commanded to in some of these passages from scriptures. All right? So, number 1, singing praise. We just did that. Again, John, did these dudes just rock the house with their voices again singing? How does it make you feel when you're up there leading, man? Just hear these dudes just like blowing you away. It's awesome, man. It is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. Singing praise. People were created with a passion and love for singing. If you don't realize how much singing and music influence people, check out this stat. 2025, the global recorded music industry reached $31.7 billion of music in 2025. Like, we were wired for music. We were wired to receive. We were wired to sing. We were wired to listen. We were wired to praise, as we've talked about this. So the Psalms, I'm going to give you a few, but the Psalms are littered with directive and invitation for God's people to sing, All right? Psalm 13:6. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy. We just did this. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. I heard a couple guys during it, we'll talk about this in a moment, but like giving out a shout of praise in the middle of a song or right at the end of a song. Like, that's biblical. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol or praise him with music and song. Psalm 96, 1 and 2. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. And we could go on and on. This is just a sampling of a myriad of scriptures in the Psalms that call for his people to sing. And God's people have always been a singing people. That's the thing. God's people have always been a singing people. Oh, one other thing. Real quick, singing, at least as we see in Ephesians, singing is a mark or an overflow of a spirit-filled believer. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So quick thing, the way that Paul writes here and the wording that he uses, be filled with the Spirit, in his language in the Greek, if you were to do a straight translation, it literally says this, be being filled with the Spirit. In other words, being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time act. Well, I was filled with the Spirit at salvation. Again, we don't lose the Spirit, right? It's not us getting more of the Spirit. It's the Spirit continually getting more of us. He takes up residence. We walk in unity with him, and sometimes we begin to take things back ourselves, and then we need to be filled again. We need to release what we've taken and surrender it back to him. But watch this. As we are filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart. We talked about that, to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are walking in the power of the Spirit, you'll be a singing person. It's just an overflow of the heart to sing psalms and hymns. He even says songs from the Spirit. Personally, I believe like it's songs that you've never heard. Like he just gives you a song. He just births you a song. John, I have a question. I'm going to put you on the spot. This morning, were you writing or praying or singing a new song? No, in your room. Okay, I heard it. It was awesome. The walls are paper thin, by the way. Dude, I'm not kidding. I was sitting down at my desk, and I was just reading and studying, and you started playing that song, and I just stopped, and bro, I'm like, I've never heard that song before. It was so good. And then it stopped, and I was like, oh, man. But then I heard him go back, and you recording on your phone? And then he plays it back on his phone. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a new song. That's like a song from the Spirit. When he gives you a song, man, you just can't help but sing. That's a mark. That's a kingdom posture. Bro, that was so good. The instruments. Praising God with instruments. Psalm 92, 1 to 3, it is good to praise the Lord, make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. We're talking about stringed instruments. Psalm 81, 1 and 2, sing for joy to God our strength, shout aloud to the God of Jacob, begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. Like on and on and on it goes. It is interesting. Do you remember, those of you who are familiar with scriptures, do you remember in 1 Samuel when King Saul had an evil spirit that would come upon him and he would become angry and he would become, man, just you could literally see his countenance change. Do you remember what the remedy was for chasing away that evil spirit? It was a musical instrument. So not only are our voices and vocalists anointed and saved, but listen, so are instruments. There is such power in music. Now think about this. I think this goes both ways too. This is probably a whole other message. But there is such power in an instrument played from an individual giving praise to God that in that moment it chased away, it set the atmosphere, and it was such a powerful atmosphere that the evil spirit had to leave. So all I leave you with is this. If music is powerful enough to chase away evil demonic spirits, isn't other certain type of music powerful enough to invite?
Think about it.
I'm just going to leave that one there. You get to wrestle with that one. All right? But that's the power. There's power in praise. Number three, clapping in praise. All right. Listen to Psalm 47:1. This is written in the command form. All right? Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Clap your hands because God... Listen, it's worth looking. I read you Psalm 47:1. Listen to what Psalm 47:2 says. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. Clap your hands. Literally, Scripture says, clap your hands because God is awesome. Like he's. That's why I love when we finish a praise song. No offense, John, we're not clapping for you, right? And I know you don't want. You wouldn't want that. When we clap at the end of a song, we're clapping for the one we're singing to. Like Psalm 47:2, we're literally clapping because God is awesome. Like, we encourage that at Pine Hills Church. We want that. I'll help start that. Again, we're not clapping for the vocalist for what they're doing. We're thankful and receive their anointing. But when we clap, we're literally following the command of Scripture, and we're clapping for God Most High because God is awesome. Every individual has been equipped by God with rhythmic instruments. Now, you may not have rhythm, but you have been equipped with rhythmic instruments, and that is your hands and often your feet and stuff too. Now, John, help the you're a musician. I don't keep putting you on your spot back there, bro. But like when we clap, when we're in places, like do we clap on 1 and 3 or do we clap on the 2 and 4? 2 and 4, if you want to do it the right way, John says. All right. Now here's the deal: we're a musical instrument and clapping. So every once in a while, there are people that have the ability to take this clap and use their musical instrument and take it to the next level. And we have one of those individuals in our very midst tonight. He's actually from our church. I would like to invite Mr. Richard Nesseth to come up here. This is Richard. You need a chair.
Right here.
Right here, you good? You can... All right, you got to have wood. Okay, do I need to move my thing for a minute?
Yeah, you need to move that.
Well, he's kicking me out. I want you to see how he's taking clapping to the next level and utilizing other parts of his body. Richard?
I'd like to ask you a question.
Amen. Amen.
Like this song, and I kept saying, oh man. It can be praise, I guess. Steve Schaefer, kids, and they would go berserk. But when I was, I'm probably older than anybody in this room. So I have to be very careful. When I lean over, I have to lean over and do this. And when I do it, many times I get vertigo. And when I get vertigo, I throw up in 3 seconds. So that's why I'm here. When I was in sixth grade, our school had a fourth. Some kids would dance, and some kids would do this and that. I sat with some of the black kids, and I learned how to do it. How many of you have heard him?
Only because of you.
A couple. How many of you never heard of it? It was on YouTube. Well, I learned how to handball. Keeping feet with your feet and taking your hand and making a beat. When I did that for the Dominican kids, they jump out of their seat and start. And then if you really get good at handball,
man, Caleb was 90 in the scriptures, and he took that mountain. Richard's 84, and he does the handball. Let's go. Dude, I love that. All right. Now, when we finish singing, we do one more song in praise at the end. We practice these postures. Richard, you can get up here, and you can start the handball with John. John, could you play with a handball? Let's go. All right, number four, kingdom postures. You mentioned already, raising hands in praise. Raising hands in praise. All right, listen to scriptures. Again, I'm not making these up. I'm giving biblical precedent. They see these just flow out of. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Lift them up and praise the Lord. Psalm 28:2. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. What a simple, easy clapping and lifting our hands in praise to God. I've just found out a lot of people, especially depending on maybe certain denominations or things that you were raised in, they have this cord. It's an invisible cord, but it's effective. And it's a cord that runs from your elbow, and it's attached to your waist. And it won't allow you to ever move your arms up, and you just don't. And I'm like, how did that cord get attached to so many men today in our churches? When there's a biblical command to raise our hands, I'm not trying to guilt you, but I am trying to challenge you. If this is a kingdom posture and a biblical posture, and even written in an imperative phrasing that calls us to do these things, I want to challenge you. Like, raise your hand. Let the Spirit cut the cord so you can raise your hands and praise the Lord. Ah, there we go. Let Him cut the cord so you can praise the Lord. Just lift up holy hands before the Lord. Now, think about this. I want to just unpack this for a moment or two, even what this expression means. There's so many meanings behind this expression. So, again, I got two grandsons. I'm thinking of the youngest one. He's 2 years old. I mean, for whatever reason, from the time he was born, he and I have a connection. Like, we're just buds. He'll run past his dad and run to me. And just like and every time he comes running, he comes in the house and he sees me and he goes, what does he do when he comes running to me? Immediately puts his hands up. Puts his hands up right here. And that's like literally what the psalmist is expressing to us, that we run to Father God. And we just like that, like, Dad, hold me. Man, I need you. Psalm 141:2, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Lifting up of hands is an act of sacrifice. I want you to consider a couple of things of what this can communicate, this lifting up of hands. Agreement with God, right? Surrender to His will. But it's a victorious surrender. Often we think of surrender as defeat, but it's actually surrender to victory. Like, we're just surrendering to His will. Intercession, the lifting up of our lives as a sacrifice to God. Man, it is interesting how some people say, at least in church and stuff, I'm not a hand lifter, I don't raise my hands, but they'll be at the Notre Dame football game, the Ohio State football game, the Michigan football game, and they won't even hesitate. There's no cord. All of a sudden, the cord disappears when they get to the sports events. Whatever, right? What's up with that? So all I say, if that's you, if you, like, will do that at a sporting event for your team, I think, my opinion, could be wrong, I think the Lord's more worthy than your sporting team for you to raise your hands to. But that's just my opinion. But again, that's something for you to take up. Now, there's a whole art to this as well, too. If you've never seen this, Eric, were we able to get that? So just this is like a minute and a half right here of just understanding some of the various postures of hand raising right here. So, John, when we come back up and sing at the end here, like, feel free, guys, anything. All right, real quick, a couple more. Number five, shouting praise. There's shouts of praise. Amen. This is the kingdom posture of praise. Psalm 33:3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. Psalm 95:1, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 89:5, blessed is the man who has learned to shout praise to God. Ezra 3:11, with praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord. He's good, his love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Ah, it's so good. We got a guy in our church. His shout is more words. He says, this is his thing. It's think about it. He gives a think about it every once in a while. Shout to the Lord. So let's do this. On the count of three, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Okay? One, two, three. Yeah! Hey! There we go. Number six. Dancing in praise. Psalm 149:3. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. And they were praising his name and dancing. Now it's a proper form, right? Again, we understand. But it's interesting that what is the most natural thing when a young child hears a music with any kind of beat? What's the most natural thing that they do? They just move. They can't. Do we have that one, Eric? Did we get that one or not? We did? What, this is like, look at she's good like this. Incredibles. It is interesting to me, though, obviously, and there's wisdom to be had here, but it is interesting when David returned in victory and he danced before the Lord. So obviously his heart was right with the Lord. He was celebrating. He was moving. It was actually his wife, Michal, that criticized him and spoke about him and said, how would you undignify yourself like that? Everything like that. But what's interesting was in light of that, she's the one that actually suffered consequences, if you're familiar with that story, afterwards. Again, hear my heart on this. I'm not saying be ungodly and do things, but obviously we were wired for some rhythm. We were wired to move. We don't have to be stiff, I guess, is what I'm saying. Bowing in praise is the last one. Psalm 5:7. But I, by your great love, can come into your house in reverence. I bow down toward your holy temple. Psalm 95:6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And in fact, even as I was reading Revelation 4, this afternoon again, that's part of what happens in the throne room in Revelation 4. The 24 elders whose seats are around the throne, as songs are begin to sung, they get off of their thrones and they bow down before the Lord. It's very interesting, both Old Testament and New Testament language, some of the very words, I won't take time to go into it, but some of the very words for praise actually mean to bow down before the Lord. So in the actual praising itself, there's that physical posture of bowing. And I think what's really interesting in that is a physical outward posture of bowing before the Lord is indicative already of an inner heart that's already bowed itself before the Lord, right? And I think part of what the challenge would be, and man, Richard, you even said this too, and you didn't even know the notes or really know where I was going today. But I think, you know, to come together in corporate settings like this or at church and take up different postures of clapping and singing praise and raising hands before the Lord and even bowing, honestly, I feel like that should just be an overflow of what we do in our weekly personal times with the Lord. You know, that there's just sometimes, yeah, when you're just reading scripture, we were talking about today at our table at lunch, and we were just talking about, like, man, sometimes you just get overwhelmed with what God has done for us. And you just get overwhelmed when you realize all that he has given to us, and that you just can't help but express, like my body just, like, I want to get on my knees before the Lord. I want to lift my hands before the Lord. I just want to shout and say, thank you, God, for your goodness to me in my life. All of these things. Again, we began by talking about why we worship Jesus and that these things flow out of the heart. But when our heart is bowed before the Lord and our heart is full of the goodness of God and full of the things that God has done for us, and we recognize we're 100% undeserving of any of it and all of it, how can we not help but just bow our hearts and occasionally bow on our knees before the Lord, lift our hands in praise to God, saying, I need you, I surrender to you, clap for him and for his goodness, give a shout of praise to him for who he is and for his salvation and for his victory, and on and on and on it goes. It's just it's a corporate overflow of a personal partaking that we do. And so I guess my challenge is twofold, as you would take this and receive this and maybe wrestle with it, like, the best place to start is in your personal time with the Lord. If you're like, man, I'm not really comfortable, I don't really do those kind of things, just start in your personal time with the Lord, just between you and him. And maybe it'll spill into an overflow in the times when you gather with God's people as well too. But just know there is power in praise. And there are kingdom postures, biblical postures that the angels in heaven, the elders in heaven around the throne are taking, and that we get a chance to actually do it now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to take up some of those postures of praise before the Lord. We get to do it now on earth, and it'll just be a continuation for all eternity. Amen, brothers? Amen. John, let's sing one song, and let's just finish our time of worship here. And I promise, Richard won't come up for the ham bone on this one, bro. Hey, listen, Lord, God, we love you. We thank you, God. Thank you for wiring us and giving us the ability, Lord, to express praise. I'm thinking right now as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem and the people are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest. And they say to Jesus, like, shut your people up. And Jesus is like, listen, if they don't say it, even the rocks will cry out in praise to me. But Lord, thank God the rocks don't have to cry out because we do. We get to express our praise to you. We get to take up postures of praise. We get to worship you with our hearts, with our mouths, with our hands, with just the overflow that we are so full of you. God, thank you for that. Thank you for our time together. Lord, as we give one last song of praise to you, may our hearts resonate with joy, filled with you, because of you, and all for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's Man Camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.